Good morning, Grace Life Church.
Good morning.
If you're new here, I'm not the pastor. You don't think they would hire somebody that looks like me, do you? But my name is Michael Wyckoff. If I've not met you, I have the great honor and privilege to serve you as one of your elders. And one of the things that attracted me so much to Grace Life from the very beginning was the humility of Tommy Clayton, the elders, and the leaders that I met when I first came here. So for me to get an opportunity to... Do you ever have that moment when your iPad goes blank and you think, uh-oh? But having the honor to serve here has just been beyond anything that I could have ever dreamed of. And especially since in this last year, my spiritual ears have been opened to the cool things happening in your life. And there is nothing that turns on your pastor, Tommy, more than knowing that God is moving in your life. I know that. So I'm so excited to be here and to get an opportunity to share some things with you today. And you know, as I think about everything, I'm just, and I am excited to be here. I just felt like breaking out in song. And the worship team did that for me today. And I'm so thankful. I guess it's fitting that I would want to break out in song since most of my career has been as a worship leader. And I've always been so intrigued by the psalmist. The psalmist who wrote such beautiful, beautiful songs and psalms for us. And I'm going to share from one of those psalms today, Psalm 121. And it is part of what is called the Songs of Ascent. And they're those psalms that appear from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And they were sung by the Hebrew people, imagine, as they're on their journey. And here's the mountains, and they're on their journey, and they're climbing the mountains. They're on their way to Jerusalem for the three pilgrimage festivals. In Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17, it says, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall bring as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God that he has given you. Can you hear the people? If you just listen a second, can you hear it now? The people are singing, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. We want to be with you. I could just hear him. And for them, it wasn't a ritual. It was a personal experience. And my prayer today, because we come here, as Luke said, some of us have heavy hearts. I'll share in a minute. I've got one myself. Sometimes we're weary. But my prayer today is that this won't be a group activity. You know, we're at church, right? It's a group activity. That it will be a personal experience with the loving, living, true, and sovereign God. And you're going to hear a lot about sovereign in this message. So let's read Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. I love verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As I was just saying, Lord, I just felt like this was the verses that he wanted me to talk about. Lord, what should I say? And I looked up all this Hebrew and everything, and I almost got learned, but not quite. But I realized that there was some really important things in this text. And this was what came forth to me. There are 3 points I want to make today. The first is, look to the sovereignty of God. As they were on their pilgrimage, it said, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. We have to look to the sovereignty of God. And then secondly, we need to grow in the sovereignty of God. It won't do any good to say, oh, thanks, Lord. You're there. I see you. And not grow. That'd be like sitting down to dinner but not eating. Thirdly, we need to live in the sovereignty of God. So let's take a look at what it means to look to the sovereignty of God. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's a Hebrew word that appears in Psalm 121, appears throughout the Psalms, and it appears even back in Genesis and other places. But the word is Shamar. I like that word because even I can pronounce it. Shamar is used in Psalm 121, and it means to keep and protect. Do you believe this morning that God always knows what's best for you? Now, I know sometimes you think you know what's best for you. Some of you have told me. Sometimes I think I know what's best for me. No, it's the Lord that knows what is best for me and for you. We learned in Romans 9, which I think was one of the finest Bible teachings that I have ever heard in all of my years of ministry, was Tommy Clayton's teaching on Romans 9. And if you were here for any of that, and you have not captured the fact that God is sovereign, I want to check your pulse. It was an amazing, amazing message series. As Christians, though, we sometimes focus on the creation rather than the Creator. You know, it's not saying, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Boy, are they beautiful. No, I lift my eyes to the mountains because the one who created the mountains is greater even still. And the one who created the mountains can change my life. The one who created the mountains can bring me comfort like nothing or no one can. And I can't wait to get to his presence. How blessed we are, my friends, because we don't have to go on some pilgrimage or go to some place to be in the presence of God. Jesus is with us now. Emmanuel, God with us. Right? We lift our eyes to the hills, striving to draw near to God. Now, there's some derivatives of the word Shamar, and some of those I can't pronounce, so I won't try. But they have beautiful meaning. And what captured my heart was they were pointing me towards the sovereignty of God. And there were really four kind of ones that caught my eye. One means to preserve. Like keeping food from spoiling. God is preserving my life while I'm right here with you today. Every breath I take, He is preserving. And then the word reserve. Do you know that God has reserved a place for you in heaven? That He set aside a special place for you and for me in heaven. He's made a reservation. He's made a reservation for us. And then another word which meant watch. Like a watchman guards the city. I'm thankful that today God is watching over us. He's not aloof. He didn't have something else to do today. He didn't have somewhere else to go because He's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's everything. So we got to do a little more than just glance at the hilltop when we're looking for God. We must trust God no matter the circumstances. Appreciated Chris's testimony. If you've experienced that, which I have not, that would have to just be unbelievable. But to have faith, to trust God even in those circumstances. I'm just wondering, can we as believers, can we look beyond everything that tends to distract us and draw near to Jesus? Because today we're on a pilgrimage. We are. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. It's just we're not on a journey to a place. We're on a journey to the Lord. Then as you pursue Jesus, think about this for a minute. As you look to Him, as you look to His sovereignty, as you pursue Him, He preserves you. He reserves a spot for you and He to be together. Tomorrow morning, many of us will get up, we'll have our coffee or whatever we do. Could we, this tomorrow morning, could you just try this? Instead of turning the TV on, instead of checking the sports scores, or whatever it might be, could you take your coffee and go somewhere quiet and sit down and listen to Jesus for a moment? To know that He wants to be with you. He doesn't want to share you with somebody else or something else. He wants to be with you tomorrow. Man, oh man. I mean, that just excites me. It's hard for me to wrap my little brain around a God that would want to spend time with me. Why would He want to spend time with me? There's so many greater people in the world. But He does. And He keeps watch. Keeps watch. Over your coming and you're going. You're not heading somewhere and he's just like, okay, see you later. I won't know anything about what's going on till you get back. No. And I'm learning more and more that a lot of times some of the difficult things that I'm experiencing, I need to experience. Sometimes God has to hit me with a hammer to get my attention. He keeps watch over your coming and going. On Thanksgiving, we had our family all over, Luke and Kate, Cam, Josh and Stacy and the girls, and Stacy's mother and Stacy's sister came. And I was melancholy from the moment I opened my eyes that morning. Because there was something missing in my home. And I'm the leader of my home, right? That something missing was my middle son and his family. They no longer live here, and there's a lot of issues and troubles and problems. I don't air my dirty laundry on national TV. But I just share that with you just so that you can understand. I was just having a tough time. But for the sake of everybody, I did what I would need to do, right? And after dinner, we were out in the back porch a little bit, and all of a sudden I realized I'm sitting on the back porch by myself. Oh my gosh. Did the devil pounce on me? When he gets you alone, he's going to get you. And I began to hurt. I began to think about my middle son, how I longed to hug him, to hold him, to tell him that God has a plan, that this is not the end. To look to the mountains. And I'm just sitting in my chair, and I'm just feeling like, man, this stinks. When all of a sudden, this little guy about this tall comes walking out from the dining room, and he walks around to the front of my chair, and he goes, "Popo." And I picked up Cam, and I held him in my arms and began to rock. And I began to sing him a song, a silly song. But it was a song that a popo sings to their grandson, letting him know they love them. And Cam smiled at me. He didn't try to get down. You know how kids are. I'm not even sure I was singing on pitch. But he was smiling at me. And suddenly in a flash, I realized that God had sent Cam out to me to hold me, not the other way around. My friends, we've got to look to the sovereignty of God. The signs are all around us. God is all around us. The signs are there. He is there. Look to the sovereignty of God. And then we got to grow in the sovereignty of God. Verses 3 and 4 says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." I'll tell you something. We grow in our faith through an eternal foundation, to an established foundation in Jesus Christ. That's not rocket science. I didn't invent that. We grow sitting at the throne of Jesus, submitting to the throne of Jesus. I'm not God. I am a man wrought with sin. But God is amazing, isn't he? That he could forgive me and set me free. I think there's some things about growing in the sovereignty of God. There were so many scriptures, there were about 30 of them I wrote down. I just picked out a few because I didn't want to keep you here until 3:30. We'll be out of here by 2. But the first is to stand firm. Ephesians 6:13. "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Can I just say something to you men today? Stop delegating the leadership of your home to your wives. Take leadership. Stand firm. You be the number one servant. You be the number one lover. You be the number one everything to the glory of God. It's hard, I know. We need to also receive grace. Romans 5:2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Did you catch that? We also obtained access by faith. We have access to this grace. We have access to this hope. We have access to a life of purpose. I think also, if we're going to grow in the sovereignty of God, we've got to cling to the gospel message. It's not the gospel and something else. It's not the gospel and whatever I can add to it. It's the gospel. It needs nothing else. Jesus needs nothing else. He is enough. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you. This is Paul speaking. Which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. That's pretty powerful. Unless you believed in vain. If you haven't read that in a while, read that and ponder that. That might be a good thing for you to talk to the Lord about when you have your coffee in the morning. Where am I on that, Lord? Where am I on that? We need to display courage in love faithfully. 1 Corinthians 16:13. I love this. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. And there's just another little message for you guys. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be in love. You want to act like a man? You want to be a man? Let everything you do be in love. Everything you do. Hard, isn't it? We need to be set free if we're going to grow in his sovereignty. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to the yoke of slavery. Let's just not go back there. Could we do that? I don't want to go back there. I understand what that feels like. I understand the lack of purpose. Let's not go back there. Christ has set us free. We're free. Did anybody hear that? We're free. Amen. Yes. Yes. And then also, and this is something that I want to commend you guys on. If we're going to grow in our faith, we've got to be in unity. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Wow. Wow. When we're not in unity, we don't have nothing. And we're certainly not godlike. It's one of the things that I do want to commend you, the church at Grace Life, for your love for one another, the way you speak to one another, the way you treat one another, the way you love on your staff. I can say this because, you know, I wouldn't want you to brag on yourself. Don't go out here today now and go, I'm the greatest. Okay, don't. But I can brag on you. I think you're the greatest. I think it is so commendable, your love. And it really is a a sign of the one who dwells within your heart. So as we continue this walk of faith, may we grow more Christ-like, that others might see Christ through our words and deeds. You know, people could care less what you say. I don't pay much attention anymore to things. I don't pay much attention to anything on television. If it's not in the Bible, it's probably not worth talking about. We need to live then in the sovereignty of God. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming from this time forth and forevermore. Think about this. The Jewish pilgrims singing this psalm would have been no stranger to the effects of evil. There were robbers, there was danger, there was animals. And I think we all know that the nation of Israel certainly had a history of falling into the hands of ruthless evil nations. But yet, if we look from a bird's eye view here for a moment, we see a story of what God is doing about it. I hear people all the time, why doesn't God do this? I don't know. Why do you not do some things you're supposed to do? Why do I not do the things I know to do? I've often said it's not the things that I don't understand about the Bible that give me the most trouble. It's the things that I do understand and can't possibly misunderstand that give me the most trouble. But God is bringing justice. In our community right now, in our nation, and I'm not talking about the election, He was doing that long before the election. He's bringing salvation. And He will one day, He will make everything right. One day, Chris will be with her daughter. There will be no more illness. There will be no more heartache. Now listen, I don't know why God doesn't do this faster. I don't understand why He uses faulty, frail, finite people in the process. But God's timing is not ours. His ways are not ours. And we are not the first people to wonder why evil and suffering can sometimes seem more real than He does. But something that I've been really coming to understand. I've been really weary lately. More heart issues. Some family stuff. And I always felt like if you're weary, there must be something wrong with your faith, right? Because there's always going to be a Christian that's going to walk up to you and go, hey, what's wrong with you? Get your head out of your backside. You've got victory in Christ. If you've done that to somebody, stop it. God sent me a 2-year-old. And about all he could get out was, I love you and Popo. I didn't get a sermon from him. I didn't get a lecture. I didn't get a list of all the things that I should do. Wow. So I came to the conclusion, as I was finishing up this message, that it was okay for me to be weary. God was okay with it. You know why? Because He's getting through to me that there are things that I don't know. There's a way of life that I've not experienced, even after 38 years in ministry. That He is God, and I'm not. that the gospel is for living, not dying. I'm learning so much. And I just came to the conclusion, okay then, Lord, that's great. Then I'm going to celebrate you while I'm weary. And that's going to trouble. See, while evil may cause us to suffer deeply, it never has the final word. I found this quote. It's an author. His name is N.T. Wright. And in a book called Evil and the Justice of God, he said this. The only thing to do is to hold the spectacular promises of God in one hand and the messy reality in the other and praise God anyway. Right? What do? Well, we praise God a little bit, but then we go, And if you do, just focus on the misery and the heartache and the pain, okay? I love you and I'm okay with that. Because I know what's really in your other hand. It's the promises of God. The Apostle Paul relayed a similar message in Romans 8, verse 38, 39. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not the death of a child. Not a bad heart. Not even death itself. Charles Spurgeon wrote, when we go out in youth to begin life, we come in, and at the end to die, we shall experience the same keeping. Our exits and our entrances are under one protection. My entrance and my exit is under one protection. And there's only one name. His name is Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus only. So even in doubt, confusion, pain, grief, injustice, weariness, we could choose to lift our eyes and look to God for help. And sometimes while you're looking to God for help, you might look over here at this mess in your other hand. Don't beat yourself up over that. And don't let anybody tell you you're a second-class believer. Didn't the disciples have a few doubts when Jesus was arrested? I think so. We could choose to stop resting on popular opinions and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. We could trust that he watches over us. He keeps us. Shamar. He guards us. We can believe that God is doing something about evil. It may look like he's not. If you watch the news enough, you'll be so darn messed up and depressed, you probably won't be able to see what God is doing. God is not taken off guard. He sees and he knows. And that the death and resurrection of Jesus shows us that evil done has already done the worst it can do. Do you believe that? Evil has already done the worst it can do. Evil wanted to just end all of God's plans altogether. God pulled a Lee Corso, those of you that are sports fans, and he said, not so fast. And he sent Jesus. Evil cannot do, it did not do, and it will not win in the end. The Lord Jesus will win in the end. As we close today, we're going to have some prayer warriors in the back. Even if you're just not sure about everything, wouldn't it be cool if we could be honest? There's not something wrong with you. If you're weary or you're hurting, there's something right with you. You can go back and there'll be people back here to pray with you. Remember, when you go back there to pray, you go back there with God in one hand and the weariness in the other. And God always wins. And the weariness would just be for a time. I wish I could tell you how long that time is going to be. I don't know. You know, I think when we go to bed, and I wonder, there was a scripture that I forgot to share because I get carried away and now I can't even find it. But it was from Psalm 3. This also stuck with me, is that I lay down and I go to sleep, and the Lord keeps me. He sustains me, I think it says in the ESV. And then I wake up. I was thinking, when I go to bed at night, I say, Lord, good night. It's been a good day. Thank you. If morning comes and I open my eyes and I'm in my bed at home, I know that you got another day for me to do something for your kingdom. And if I open my eyes in the morning and I am with you, Lord, it's going to be the best day ever, ever, ever.